Thank the Lord. Appreciate Brother Jacob. Amen. Appreciate the folks here, all of you here at Unity. Amen. It's always a blessing to come be with you. I think this is the first time I've ever been here that was not during a Bible conference. Amen. But I appreciate the Bible conference that you have, and I know that's a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice for that, but I appreciate you doing that. It's always a blessing to us to be able to come and be a part of the meeting. Amen. It's a blessing for us to be able to come this week. Amen. And torture Brother Jacob for a few days. Amen. And we have a lot of fun and get a little bit of work done at the same time. Amen. And so I thank the Lord for it. All right, if you would look with us in the book of Daniel, chapter number 11. This is maybe familiar scripture to some, maybe not. I don't know. But I just feel like this is where the Lord would have us. I don't know about Brother Jacob, but whenever I preach, I like to preach through a book a lot of times, not generally on Sunday morning, but on Wednesday nights, and especially Wednesday nights, but even Sunday nights sometimes too. And I've been preaching through the book of Daniel for probably the last, several months anyway. And I'm in chapter 12 right now, but I preached this message a week ago Sunday morning. And again, I don't normally do it on Sunday morning, but I felt like this was what the Lord had for me to preach last Sunday morning. And this is what I still have on my heart. Amen. And so I feel like this would be what we would preach this evening. And Brother Jacob asked me to preach. And so I appreciate him trusting me with the pulpit. Amen. And the confidence that he has. And I pray that we'll be able to be a help to you and an encouragement to you. Amen. To live for the Lord even in these days. And if you know the book of Daniel, of course, the first half is talking about Daniel's experiences or events that take place in the life of Daniel and his friends, first six chapters. And then the last six chapters, that here where we're at in Daniel chapter 11, is right at the end of that, is prophecies that Daniel, dreams and visions, prophecies that Daniel has received from God. Amen. And here in Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12, we find an angel comes to Daniel and gives Daniel this vision. And explain some things to him. And the reason is because Daniel's been praying and asking for some understanding. He's gotten several visions and he don't really understand all of them. And so he prays for 3 full weeks. He fasts and prays for 3 full weeks. And finally he gets God sends an angel to give him an answer. Amen. I believe that, don't you? I believe if the Bible says if you search for the Lord with all your heart, then you'll find him. Amen. And I believe if we get to some place we don't understand what we're supposed to do, we don't understand God's will for our life, we don't understand maybe what God's Word says to us, I believe if we get serious about it and fast and pray, amen, I believe we can get some answers, don't you? Amen, I believe God will be faithful to answer us. And so even in this, of course, Daniel, I know if you go to chapter 12, we'll find that Daniel still doesn't understand everything. He has a much greater understanding than he did at the beginning. But he doesn't understand everything. But God said, these things are sealed to the end, and just go your way. Go thy way, Daniel. And that's what Daniel did. He had the peace of God. Amen. And I believe sometimes God may not give us all the answers, but he gives us what we need. Amen. And if we have what we need, then we can go away in peace. Amen. But don't some people take the approach, well, I don't understand, but it's okay. I've read the 3 chapters I'm supposed to read for today. I didn't understand it, but I'm going to go ahead and live my life today. Daniel read some, didn't understand it, and he sought after the Lord. And we can't rest in peace until we get the answer from God that he's not going to give us an answer. That's an answer. Amen. And that's what Daniel got, and so he rested. But so Daniel chapter 11, though, historians tell us that the events that this covers about 500 to 600 years of the history of the Jews under Gentile rule. And then through verse 35, and then it looks like there's a space of time, and we understand that as the church age, the age that we're living in today. And then verse number 36, he goes into the 7-year tribulation period, I believe, of the Jews. And so here's what he says in verse number 36. Bible says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. And in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Now we understand he's already told us about what the king would do here, the abomination of desolation, he calls it. And then we find Jesus said this has still not occurred in full. And so it's still going to occur. And so we understand that that's talking about the Antichrist. I believe Antiochus Epiphanes probably fulfilled part of it, but he was the forerunner to the Antichrist. The Antichrist is still to come. Amen. And so then he goes on down talking about the wars of the Antichrist. And then you go down to verse number 45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. And he shall come, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Amen. And so these verses tell us about this man that we call the Antichrist. And I noticed something in verse 36, verse 37, and verse 38, verse 39, verse 40, verse 41, verse 42. All of these verses, verse 43, all of these verses say, he shall. He shall. He shall do according to his will. That means he's going to do it. It doesn't say he might. It says he shall, right? He's going to do this. This is exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do according to his will. He's going to exalt himself. He's going to magnify himself. All of the, he's going to not regard any God. All of these things that he's going to do. He shall plant the tabernacles of his holy palace, of his palace, between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. That's what he shall do. But then look what God said. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Amen. So just as sure as this man's going to rise up, going to rule over the whole world, just as sure as he's going to do that, God's going to put an end to his reign. Amen. And there's going to come in a day right after that, I believe, when Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. And the Bible says, of his kingdom shall be no end. Amen. And so you can compare the kingdom of the Antichrist, the seven-year kingdom, to the millennial kingdom of our Lord. That'll be a thousand-year reign. But he's not going to quit being king after that. He's still reigning, amen, all through eternity. And I thank the Lord for it. Amen. So you pray for us as we preach. I'm going to look in 1 John here in just a moment after we pray and preach to you a little bit about the spirit of the Antichrist. If you would pray for us that the Lord would help us, that we would not have that spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we've been given, Lord, to preach your word. We don't take that for granted. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of my sin. Lord, I pray you would empty me of myself. And Lord, that you'd fill me with your spirit, that we might preach the truths of your word. Lord, I pray. I pray that you would help us even in our services back home, Lord. I pray you'd help Brother Larry as he brings a lesson. Lord, I pray that you would help the people there. I pray you'd help the people here, Lord, that we would get what you have for us in your word here this evening. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I appreciate you praying with us and for us here this evening. Amen. As I said, 1 John chapter number 4, we find actually the only time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the only time in your Bible that we find the words the Antichrist is in 1 John. He's known as the little horn in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 8, we have the king of fierce countenance that I believe is talking about this same man. And in Daniel chapter 11, we have the willful king. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that he is the man of sin, the son of perdition. And so these are all titles of the Antichrist or maybe explanations what he's going to do, right? And we call him the Antichrist because that word anti means against. Or it also can mean the opposite. Right, and it also carries the idea. Not the Antichrist is going to be somebody that's going to come and claim to be Christ. He's going to be exactly the opposite of what Christ is. But there's going to be a lot of people who are going to think he is Christ. Actually, almost the whole world is going to think he is Christ. Amen. And so that shows you how Paul told him not to be deceived, because even Satan himself can make his angels transform them into ministers of light, right? And so we see that we can see that in our day. Amen. Religion supposed to be worshiping God, and yet they're exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Amen. And so we see how Satan gets involved. He has a counterfeit for everything, including Jesus. Amen. That is the Antichrist ultimately. Verse number 1 of chapter 4 of 1 John. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." We have a lot of people today. Brother Ernest talked about it today earlier. Don't judge. Judge not that you be not judged. Right? You shouldn't question people when they tell you they're of God. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says don't believe them. Right? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That clarifies a lot of things, don't it? A lot of religions don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says they're antichrist. Amen. They're not of God. Amen. And this is that spirit of antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Look at what John said. And even now already is it in the world. So the spirit of antichrist is working today. That's what he said. It was working back then. This is probably around AD 90, one of the last books of the Bible written. And it was working then, and it's still working today. Amen. He says, verse number 4, "Year of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. So while the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist is prevalent in our day, John says, don't be worried about that, right? You have a greater spirit than the spirit of the Antichrist. Amen. You have the Spirit of God, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. So I want to think about this, and what we're looking at here in Daniel chapter 11 is talking about the Antichrist, but John said that the spirit of the Antichrist is here today. I believe, rightly dividing the Word of God, that especially you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, I believe many of you or all of you probably would agree with this. I'm not fighting anybody that doesn't agree with it. But I believe that the Antichrist cannot come until the church is called out. Amen. Because he said he can't come until the Holy Ghost is called out. And the Holy Ghost can't be called out of this world, can't be removed from this world as long as there's a Christian here, a member of the church here. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost resides inside of us. Amen. He dwells within us. And so I believe, according to the scriptures, that we'll be called out of here, and then the Antichrist will show up. So I'm not really looking for the Antichrist. But what I do have to worry about is having the spirit of the Antichrist. Not having it within me, but being influenced by it. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world today that are lost. I don't believe that a saved person can be possessed of a devil. Amen. Because you're possessed of God. Amen. But I believe that we can be oppressed by satanic activity, right? I believe we can be oppressed. Satan can try to work with our minds and different things like that. That's why the Bible says it's important for us to study the Word of God, to have the Word of God within us. Amen. When Jesus confronted Satan, or when Satan confronted Jesus, Jesus responded with the Word of God. Amen. That got him out of trouble. I believe it'll get us out of trouble, don't you? Amen. And so we find here this spirit of the Antichrist. We're not concerned about it being in us. We're concerned about being influenced by it. If we're not careful, we will be. And so I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Amen. I believe he'll come before the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist may be alive and well today. I don't know. But he's not taking that position yet. Amen. And he won't until the church is gone. I believe that the trumpet could sound at any moment. I don't believe there's any scripture that gives any kind of prophecy that says the trumpet, this has to happen before the trumpet sounds. All the signs are given to the Jews. All the signs is about the tribulation. Amen. Now, in Matthew 24, he does say that these wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, and Brother Jacob was talking about that, all these things are going to come before the tribulation gets here, and it's going to ramp up before the tribulation gets here, and it's going to get even worse when the tribulation comes. And so we can say, I believe with pretty good assurance, that we're getting close to that day. But Paul thought he was getting close to that day. So if Jesus doesn't come for another 100 years, that ain't going to make him a liar. Amen. But I don't believe it'll be 100 years, do you? Amen. I'm looking for the trumpet to sound any moment. But if we put out on the sign out here, we put out here that we're going to have a prophecy conference for a whole week. And I'm not slamming people that do that. But I'm saying if you put a sign out there saying we're going to have a prophecy conference for a whole week and we're going to talk about the Antichrist, you know what we'd do? Every pew in here would probably be full. But you come, you preach about Jesus, and nobody wants to come. Amen. People are more concerned about the Antichrist, somebody that if you're saved, you're not going to have to worry about. Amen. Amen. They're worried about that, but they're not worried about what they should be worried about, which is Jesus. Amen. And whether you have eternal life or not. Amen. And so I want to think about this, what the Antichrist is going to do, and be a warning to us not to act like the Antichrist is going to act. A lot of times we think the Antichrist is going to be some wicked man. Well, he is going to be wicked. But I don't know that he's going to be wicked in the sins of the flesh. I don't know that Satan is. Right? I don't know that Satan's a drunkard. What is Satan's sin? Satan's sin was pride. Satan's sin was a love for himself. He only cared about himself. He said, I'll be like God. I will be God. I'll be like the Most High. Amen. What did Satan tempt Eve with? He tempted Eve. He said, God said that you shouldn't eat of the fruit. But I know better than that. You really should eat of the fruit because it'll make you smarter. It'll make you'll be more like God. You'll know more. You'll be like God. He was tempting her with her pride. He was not tempting her to get drunk. He was not tempting her to have to commit adultery. He wasn't tempting her. Now we have the flesh to deal with, and so the sins of the flesh are sometimes tempting to us. A lot of times they're tempting to us, and sometimes we fall in those sins. Sometimes we lie. Sometimes you understand what I'm saying. We have these struggles with that, and Satan will use anything that he can to try to tempt us. But his main tool is to appeal to our pride and our love of self. Bible says here in verse number 36 of Daniel chapter 11, he says, and the king shall do according to his own will. What does that mean? Well, it means, what I believe that he's saying there is he doesn't care what anybody else thinks, including God. Well, I know what God said, but I really think it should be done like this. I really don't think there's anything wrong with this, even though the Bible says thou shalt not, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, really. I really don't feel bad about it, right? That's the Antichrist spirit. Amen. We got a lot of people in churches today, a lot of times, that they know what the Bible says, but they're just not willing to do that. They just don't think it really means anything to me. Right? Amen. So he says he'll do according to his own will. He'll exalt himself. This is true for preachers. This is true for church members. It's true for everybody. We have to be careful about exalting ourselves. Amen. We're living in a day of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all this, where people, the only thing they do all day is brag about themselves. Yeah. Amen. And post about what they've done and what we've even got. As I said, it's a shame, but we got preachers that somebody come down to the altar and say they get saved, and the preacher can't get them up from the altar before he's taking a picture and posting on Facebook. Look what I've done. Amen. Lord help. We're in a mess, ain't we? Amen. Amen. He shall exalt himself. He'll magnify himself above every God. The Bible says we're to magnify the Lord. This man magnifies himself. I had to ask myself, What does that word magnify? Does it mean to make him bigger? No, it does. It means to enlarge him. What it means is to make him appear bigger in my eyes. See, this man, this Antichrist does not actually become greater. He's just great in his own eyes. He's exalting himself in his own eyes. He'll magnify himself. Or he might magnify himself to others. Make himself appear better than he is. How many times do we do that? We're more concerned about making ourselves look better than we are about making God look better. And I can't make God look better. I can't make God greater than he is, but I can make him appear greater in my sight. I can focus on him. Amen. A lot of times we take our eyes off the Lord. Amen. We need to keep our eyes on him. Amen. He'll speak marvelous things. I don't have time to go through all this. But look what he says. Speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper. He shall prosper. A lot of times we get the idea, well, if somebody's prosperous, that means God's blessing them. That way I must be doing something, right? I mean, God gave me a raise. God allowed me to get a nicer home. God allowed me to do whatever the case is, right? Get a newer car. I must be doing something, right? I mean, I know the Bible says not to do this or to be faithful to church, for example. But I haven't been faithful to church, and God's still blessing me. He must be all right with that. Amen. We don't care what the Bible says, but the Antichrist is going to prosper. Did you know that prosperity is never a sign of God's blessing? Amen. We look at America and we say, man, God's blessed America. Well, I believe he has in some ways, but God's not blessing America today. And I don't believe, you look at what America's promoting. I heard a man say this. He's quoting Billy Graham. And he said, Billy Graham said that if God does not judge America, then he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, that's not true. God doesn't have to apologize to anybody. God's going to judge America, whether he judges them today or whether he judges them on Judgment Day. Amen. Every person, we think, well, how can God allow that person to get by? They're not getting by. Amen. Even if they get by every day that they live, they're standing before God on Judgment Day. And they ain't getting by then. Amen. And neither are we. Amen. So, God... where was I going with that? I forgot where I was at. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Amen. The prosperity. Yes. God does not, that does not mean that God is blessing. God, and God does not have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't judge America. But what this preacher said, he said that is a sign that Billy Graham didn't understand Romans 1. Because Romans 1 teaches us that sodomy, open sodomy, being accepted in a society is not a sign that God is going to judge that nation. Open sodomy being accepted by society is a sign that God has already judged. That is the judgment of God on a society. And that is where we're at today. God is judging America for our sin. Amen. But a lot of times we get the idea that if we're prosperous, then we're being blessed. I believe prosperity a lot of times is a curse from God. People today, we have more than we've ever had, more luxury, more convenience, and yet we have less time to serve God. We have less a desire to serve God. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. Prosperity is not. But look what he says. He shall prosper. Notice the next word, till. That tells us there's an end to the prosperity. Till the indignation be accomplished. For that it is determined shall be done. That follows up with verse 45 where he tells us till the end. He'll come to his end. And so there's coming an end to this Antichrist. He looks like he's got it all together, but 7 years is a pretty short time. Especially I'm talking about the king being in power. I mean, there's a lot of kings throughout history served much longer than 7 years. 7 years is nothing. Amen. And especially when you consider eternity. 7 years is nothing. But yet, while he's here, a lot of times it's hard to see the grand scope of things. Yeah. We're caught up in the moment, and it looks like everything's going great. He says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now think about that phrase, he shall magnify himself above all. There's a lot of people today, they couldn't name somebody that's in authority over their life. Right. They don't think the government's in authority, no police officer's in authority, no church's in authority, no... Amen? No authority over them. No God that's over them. Nobody, they don't answer to anybody. That's what people feel like today. So I ask, who's over you? Who's in authority over you? Amen. I hope the Lord is anyway. Amen. And he set up other authorities in our homes, in our churches, in our government. Amen. He set up those authorities and we ought to obey them as long as they don't go against God's word. Amen. Sometimes we can't obey them because they do go against God's word. But anyway, So, but he says he shall not regard, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. But then he says, verse 38, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Now I read you all those, because in verse 37 he says he's not going to regard any God. Then he spends two verses, chock full, telling you about how he's going to honor these gods. He's not going to regard any God, but he's going to honor gods. He's not going to honor the true God, for sure. The God of his fathers is a capital G. No, the God of forces. I believe the God of his fathers, God whom his fathers, he's talking about the God whom his fathers knew not. Okay, verse number 37, yeah. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor regard any God. The God of his fathers there is capitalized. That's the one I was looking for. I believe that he's going to be a Jew for one reason, because of this verse. Another reason is because he's going to be accepted by the Jews as the Messiah, by the majority of the Jews. And they wouldn't accept a man that's not at least part Jewish. Right? So I believe he's probably going to be either a Jew or part Jew. But he's going to disregard the God of the Jews. They don't care what he says. He don't care what any God says. He's going to honor. You know, there's a lot of people that are honoring God in their words, maybe. They're honoring God in giving, in the offering. They're honoring God in a lot of ways, but they don't regard what he says. They don't regard anything about what he says. They really don't believe in God. They believe in religion. Amen. We got a lot of people that is the case. Lord, help us not to have that in our life. Amen. He says, nor the desire of women. A lot of people think that's a sodomite. Maybe he is. I wouldn't put that past him. Amen. I believe if we want to get the definition of that, we might have to go back to the first mention principle. We go back to Genesis chapter 3, and we find that the desire of the woman is to her husband, and the desire of the husband is to his wife. The husband's role is to provide and protect his wife, and he's not going to regard that. His job is not to protect his wife. His job is not to provide for his wife. Amen. He doesn't care what God says about it. Amen. Now, let me say this. I think that the outstanding sin of the Antichrist is not going to be sodomy or adultery or lying or none of these, stealing, amen, but it'll be pride and self-love. And if we're not careful, these sins will be in our lives. And we'll just say, you know, it's just normal. Everybody is proud of something. I believe that almost every sin, if not every sin, begins with pride. Amen. And unbelief. If we really believed God, then we wouldn't sin against Him. If we really believed we was going to give an account for it, we wouldn't sin against Him. But we've got preachers in our day. There's preachers. I know of a situation where they've got off into Calvinism, and of course, the next thing that follows is lowering of the standards, and they're getting rid of the King James and all of this. And these three preachers, I believe it is, sit around on a podcast and drink alcohol while they talk about the Bible. Yeah, they don't have to obey what the Bible says. They talk about how that, you know, if a man accidentally, they say that it's not wrong to drink alcohol, it's wrong to get drunk. Somebody said if it takes eight beers to get you drunk, you drink one beer, and you're 1/8 drunk. You're still drunk, just not to the extent that you would be if you got completely drunk. Amen. But the first beer has the exact same amount of alcohol as the eighth one does. Amen. But anyway, these preachers say, well, the sin is in getting drunk. So if you accidentally got too drunk, you wouldn't have to ask forgiveness for it because God already forgave you your sins on Calvary. I'm talking about they don't even believe the Bible. Amen. Lord, help us. But they magnify themselves. So we got all the answers. We know everything. And you don't even have, amen. I was telling Brother Ernest today, I saw a preacher. He's divorced his wife, got him engaged to another woman, and still pastoring the church. And I saw he posted today talking about he's a copy and paste deal, but I don't know where he got it from. But he posted on his Facebook talking about how these two boys sitting on the front row holding hands. So what are you going to say? He said, I'm going to say Jesus loves them, and they're welcome. and all of this. Well, Jesus does love them, but he doesn't love their sin. Amen. And they said the quote said that Jesus broke all kinds of laws to love people. He never broke one law. Amen. Amen. But see, we don't care what the Bible says. We care about what we feel about it. Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Amen. Most Christians today don't really care that their lives run contrary to what the Scriptures teach. Because a lot of people are convinced that God wants them to be happy. As long as I'm happy, that's okay. And God's more concerned about your holiness than He is your happiness. Amen. Amen. So I say, if your opinion matters more than the Word of God, or more than what the Holy Ghost says through the preaching of the Word of God, then you're ready, you're primed and ready for the Antichrist. Amen. Why are we so concerned about how I feel about sin?
Right.
Why are we not concerned about how God feels
Amen.
About it?
Right.
That really should be all that we're concerned about. A lot of people say, well, I'm just not really convicted about it. I've never been convicted. Well, amen. I'm not saying we just, whatever the preacher preaches. No, Paul said that those in Berea, the saints in Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures, see whether these things are so. We're not following a man. We're following the Holy Ghost. We're following the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, if it's in the book, then we ought to follow Him. Amen. Amen. I believe that. And Paul was probably one of the greatest preachers. And it didn't offend him that people searched the Bible to see if what he said was right. Amen. Amen. But if it's in the Bible, we ought to take heed to it. In the book of Nehemiah, you don't have to turn there. If you don't want to, you can. I'll be there in just a moment. The book of Nehemiah, I think, gives us a good example of what the preacher's job is. Amen. And what we are to do. Because our authority is the Word of God. Can I say this? I've gotten a lot of help, of course, reading the Bible on my own. I believe everybody should read the Bible on your own. Amen. Every day. But I've gotten help doing that. But I've gotten a lot of help sitting in a church service listening to a preacher preach the Word of God. You know why? Because that's the way God uses the Word of God in our life through the preaching of His Word. Amen. Sometimes I've been listening to preaching, and I said, man, how did I not see that? That's right there, and I've never seen it. You know why? Because that's the Holy Ghost that pointed that out through the preaching. Amen. I think Brother Billy Mitchell used to say that there's really only one preacher, and that is the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's true. There's a lot of truth in that. Amen. Chapter number 8 of the book of Nehemiah, verse number 1, the Bible says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. To bring in the Bible, we would say. Verse number 2, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Before the men and women and the women and those that could understand. Notice why he keeps saying these that could understand. He's reading to them so they will understand. Amen. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him, he tells these people, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce those names because that's not the point for reading this. Amen. Verse number 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Lord, help us to reverence the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God like we should. Amen. And then verse number 7, and Joshua and Benai and all these names here down toward the end, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. You see, what he's saying is not that everybody cannot understand it, but God wants to make application to our life today. And he does that through the preacher reading the Word of God that you can understand. And then he gives the sense of it. He gives, how does this apply today to us?
Amen.
Amen. And then he calls them to understand. That's the job about Brother Bryant. Brother Joe Bryant says this. Said he heard about this man that had a preacher get up and just preached and preached and preached and preached and almost said something. Amen. And some people like that, ain't you? You can hear him and you get done. You say, this one preacher in North Carolina said he had a preacher come preach a revival for him all week long. And when he got done, he said, I didn't know what he believed. Amen. Didn't have a clue what he believed. I just got up and said a bunch of nothing. Amen. That's not the job of the preacher. The job of the preacher is to say something. Amen. That means something. And to give an understanding. Give the sense of the Word of God. And it's not the eloquence of the preacher, the words of the preacher, but it's the Holy Ghost that uses the message. Amen. And causes us to understand and to know God's will for our life for today. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. So the Antichrist is not going to try to get us necessarily, he's not going to try to get everybody to commit murder. But he is going to try to get people that commit murder to feel good about committing murder.
That's right. Sure.
That's where we're at today, ain't it?
Sure it is.
He's not trying to get everybody to marry according to the Word of God, but get everybody to feel good about marrying whoever they want to marry.
That's right. Amen.
Not making everybody miss church, but make people that miss church have an excuse, a good excuse that makes them feel better about it.
That's right.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
That's
the spirit of the Antichrist. He'll magnify himself above all. I remember there in North Carolina, they used to, in the newspaper, used to print, well, they gave, when the first baby of the year is born, they gave him a big gift in the hospital. They take a picture and they put them in the newspaper and tell about the mom and the daddy and all of this. But if the baby was born to a couple that was not married, they would not put it in the paper because they didn't want to embarrass the parents. Right? Well, this preacher, he's a Southern Baptist preacher. His daughter was living in his house, shacked up with a man, got expecting and had a baby, and they didn't print. It was the first baby of the year, and they didn't take his picture and put it in the paper. And the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, I know he raised a big fuss over it, got the newspaper to change their policy. I believe he sued them for it. Said his baby, his grandbaby is just as important as any other grandbaby. And it is.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, we call it an illegitimate child, but it's not the child that's illegitimate.
That's right.
It's the parents.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, it's a difficult place because you don't want to glorify the sin. But God's the one that gave the life.
Right.
We have to celebrate the life, but we don't celebrate the sin that is involved.
That's right.
Amen. And so it's a difficult place. But it's very clear where the Bible stands on the issue. But see, here the man, a lot of times this that he talked about a message he preached. I remember it, preached on love covers a multitude of sin, but it still don't make it right. Amen. And it does. The Bible says it covers a multitude of sin. Amen. A lot of times people preach against things or they believe things until their child or their grandchild is involved in it, and then it's okay. Amen. You know why? Because I'm God. When we don't care what God says, we care more about what I think about it, then we're making ourselves the God.
Amen.
Amen. That's pride. Amen. That's where it is. Amen. Bible says in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. God told Isaiah, if they go contrary to the word of God, then they don't have any light in them.
Right.
Amen. You see, Hudson Taylor said this. There's three great truths. One, that there is a God. There's a lot of people that don't believe that. One, that there is a God. Two, that he has spoken to us in the Bible.
Yeah.
And three, that he meant what he said.
Amen.
Amen. He's not just giving suggestions. Amen. Now, if you would look with me, last of all, look with me in the book of Revelation, chapter number 13. I'll just read one verse here. And you might say, this don't sound too encouraging. I'm trying to encourage you, amen. If you are living in the will of the Lord, Satan's the easiest way for Satan to get to us just convince us it's not really all that important to believe everything that God says. Amen. Everybody else is doing it. Well, they're not. But even if they are, that's not a reason. That's not an excuse. They're still going to have to stand before God on Judgment Day. When Noah was living, everybody else was doing it. But Noah stayed true to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me skip on down here to verse number 11. He's talking about this beast. Here's another thing. He's going to make the beast, or he's going to raise him from the dead, right? He's going to die. He's going to raise him from the dead, and the whole world's going to see it. We say, how in the world is that possible? Well, if a police officer kills a black guy, the whole world sees it immediately on their phone. Amen. We can see how it could happen today. Where everybody sees this man being raised from the dead. Do you know what? A lot of people are going to believe because of these miracles. A lot of people today, we're talking to a young man, he's on meth, came in, his name's Blake, pray for him if you would. He came into church just during the day, last week, and he's wanting some water. And so we got to talking to him. He used to come to church for maybe a month or two. But he got back on meth, and he was confused, of course, and he had a lot of issues. But we asked him if he was saved, and he said, if he knew if he was saved, and he said, oh, yeah. He said, I know I'm saved. He said, I'm just away from the Lord. Well, okay. How do you know that you're saved? He said, well, I was lifted up from the ground. He said, the earth was spinning underneath me. And he said, the Holy Ghost said I touched the ground and say, peace be still. And he said, I did, and the whole world stopped. He said, so I know I'm saved. See, people will take, and I know a lot of that, what he's saying is his drugs, but he might would have told us that if he was sober. Because people believe miracles and signs and all that. I know I'm saved because I seen an angel. Well, I know all of this. God took me to heaven in a dream or whatever the case is. They believe those things, but they won't believe the word of God. Abraham told the rich man in Luke, was it 15? 16. Luke 16, he told him, the rich man said, ask if he had sent Lazarus back. If there's no hope for me, send Lazarus back to my five brothers. And Abraham said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. So let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one rose from the dead, then would they hear them? Then would they believe? But then would they repent? The rich man believed in repentance. Amen. And Abraham said, if they won't believe the Bible, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe if one rose from the dead. Amen. People will believe miracles, but not real miracles. They believe fake miracles. Amen. They believe this charismatic movement. They got to be of God because they can do all these miracles. Amen. But they all still die. Amen. It was here, I think, Brother Jones. Johnny Jones preached about this healer. Said he was going to heal, pray over his wife and heal her. And he said, when she was dying, and Brother Jones said, if you believe all that, he said, you must have people 150 years old in your church. If you can keep them from dying, right? But they don't. None of them do. Amen. Because they're fakes. They don't really have that. So this... this Antichrist is going to perform all these miracles and people are going to believe because of it. But look in verse number 11. In Revelation 13, verse number 11. And he says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. What did he look like? He looked like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. He acted like Jesus. That's who he's pretending to be. He's put on these Jesus. He acted like Jesus. Yet, he spoke like the devil. How is that? He spoke about magnifying himself. And everybody's involved. All the religions of the world. You go somewhere on vacation. You try to look for a good church to go to. You look online. And everyone that you'll find, almost everyone that you find online, won't tell you what they believe. What they'll tell you is, oh, you'll like it here. We got this for you. We got that for you. Everything that we have, you're just really going to love. It's all about you. It's all about making you happy. Not about preaching the word of God. Amen. Lord help us. That is what Satan sounds like. Amen. He's trying to look like Jesus, but he sounds like Satan. I remember Isaac was old and about dead. And Jacob come in with the skin of a goat skin right on him, because his brother was hairy. He come in and said, he said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am Esau, thy firstborn." And Isaac reached out and touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the skin," I forget how he said it, "the skin is the skin of Esau. He feels like Esau, but he sounds like Jacob."
Yeah, right.
Heard a man preach a message on settling for a substitute. And one of his points was settling for a feeling instead of trusting the voice.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot of people going to be confused. They're going to be deceived by the Antichrist. And if you're here today and you're saved, you don't have to worry about the Antichrist. If you're here and you're lost, then you should worry about the Antichrist, but it won't do you any good, because the Bible says you'll believe a lie and be damned. Those that have heard the truth will be deceived by the Antichrist. There's all kinds of commandments in the Bible for saved people not to be deceived. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Or I would not have you to be deceived, brethren. There's never a commandment for a lost person not to be deceived, because they all are. Amen. And they will be deceived by the Antichrist. Amen. But the way they'll be deceived is by looking at what he looks like and what he does, instead of listening to what he says. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us. Are you following the Lord today? Are you living in all the light that you have? Are we picking and choosing what we want to adhere to, what we want to follow, how we want to serve the Lord? Amen. Lord, help us to serve the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Amen. And serve Him with all that we have. Amen. Brother Jacob, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to preach, brother. Amen. Amen.